ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मीतयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। Now what I decided to do from today onwards, I will read, chant one shloka, explain it, and then wait for a few minutes. If you have any questions with regard to that, then we will discuss. Otherwise, we will move forward. Okay? In our last class, what did we discuss? That the Lord is assuring those whose mind and heart is totally directed towards me, so very soon I will lift them up. That is what he says, Bhavami Nacharat Partha Mai Aveshita Chetasam. This idea is reinforced several times. Two other shlokas which reinforce this idea is Ananyas Chintayantoma. Mayyavishat Chetasam, Ananyas Chintayantomam, Ye Janaha Paryupasate, Tesham Nitya Bhyuktanam, Yoga Kshemam, Vahami, Sarvadharman Parityajya, Mamekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Mashuchaha. This idea is going to be reinforced again immediately after. In the very next verse, we are going to take it up. But this is what is called the connection between yesterday's talk and today's talk. So I very quickly, I will save them. I will be their savior, taking them out of this ocean of samsara. Why ocean? Because like ocean, there will always be waves. What are the waves here? Janma, mrityu. This is called shad urmi. Urmi means wave. Six waves between birth and death, including birth and death, two plus four other waves will be there. You know, changes, birth, confirmation, growth, then old age, disease, and ultimately apakshaya. These are the six. Everyone has to go through these. This is called existential suffering. But karmic suffering is something else. So that depends upon us. Existential suffering comes from God. Karmic suffering comes from us. So this existential suffering nobody can avoid. Even a saint is born, he has to cry when he is hungry, his mother has to come and then lift him up, and sometimes they are very heavy. Yeah, you just imagine Krishna eating so much of butter. What do you think Mother Yashoda's condition? Yeah, and not enough what his mother was feeding him. Just imagine, Kerala, Krishna photo you have seen, you will have some idea what he is like. He's so heavy. How heavy? You don't even understand, even after reading Bhagavatam. One day his mother tied him up to a husking stone. He pulled it. Who can pull it? And then he pulled it in between two trees, huge trees, and the trees got uprooted. Now imagine how heavy even two trees. Anyway, what is the point here we are discussing? That if God, only God's grace can lift us up from this samsara sagara. Samsara means punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jathare shayanam. Iha samsare khaludustare kripaya pare pahi murare. So this is the sangati connection. Now verse number 9. If you have got, let us chant. Mayeva mana adhasva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, నివసిష్యసి మయి ఏవ అత ఊర్ధ్వం న సంశయః. ఫిక్స్ దై మైండ్ ఆన్ మీ ఓన్లీ, ప్లేస్ దై ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఇన్ మీ, దెన్ దౌ షల్ట్ నో డౌట్ లివ్ ఇన్ మీ హియర్ ఆఫ్టర్. టూ కండిషన్స్ టు లివ్ ఇన్ గాడ్, టూ కండిషన్స్ టు లివ్ ఇన్ గాడ్ ఆల్ ది టైమ్. ది ఇంటలెక్ట్ మస్ట్ కమ్ టు ది కంక్లూజన్ దెర్ ఈస్ నథింగ్ మోర్ ఇంపార్టెంట్, నో అదర్ గోల్ ఎక్సెప్టింగ్ గాడ్. బట్ ది మైండ్, ఇట్స్ ఆల్ ఇట్స్ మోడిఫికేషన్స్ థాట్స్ మస్ట్ బి ఫిక్స్డ్ ఓన్లీ ఆన్ గాడ్. హియర్ ఈజ్ ఏ ది వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ విషస్ సర్కిల్. వెన్ కెన్ ది బుద్ధి ఫిక్స్ ఇట్స్ గోల్? ఓన్లీ వెన్ ది మైండ్ గోస్ ఆన్ ఫీల్డ్ విత్ హోలీ థాట్స్. అండ్ వెన్ ఆర్ ది మైండ్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ హోలీ థాట్స్? ఓన్లీ వెన్ ది బుద్ధి ఈస్ ఫిక్స్డ్. సో వాట్ ఈస్ ది వే అవుట్? సో యూ జస్ట్ రీడ్ సే గాస్పెల్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీరామకృష్ణ అట్లీస్ట్ ఫర్ ఫ్యూ మినిట్స్, థింక్ అప్. దిస్ విల్ రీఇన్ఫోర్స్ ది ఒరిజినల్ బుద్ధి మీన్స్ డెసిషన్. డెసిషన్ మీన్స్ వాట్ డస్ డెసిషన్ మీన్?
చూసింగ్ ది రైట్
డిస్క్రిమినేషన్. వాట్ ఈస్ మై గోల్? సో వెన్ వీఆర్ చూసింగ్ అవర్ గోల్, టూ థింగ్స్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్. వీఆర్ ఆల్ చూసింగ్ ఎవ్రీ మూమెంట్. యు నో వెన్ యు ఆర్ డ్రైవింగ్ ఎ కార్, ప్రాక్టికల్లీ ఎవ్రీ మినిట్ యు ఆర్ చూసింగ్ టు వెదర్ టు టర్న్ టు ది లెఫ్ట్ ఆర్ రైట్ ఆర్ గో, కీపింగ్ అదర్ వెహికల్స్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ మైండ్, పెరిఫరల్ విజన్. బట్ సేమ్ టైమ్ దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ వెరీ టెంపరీ డెసిషన్స్. దేర్ ఫోర్ ది థాట్స్ ఆల్సో విల్ బి వెరీ టెంపరీ. బట్ దట్ ఐడియా, వాట్ ఈస్ మై ఫైనల్ గోల్? హౌ మెనీ పీపుల్ రియల్లీ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ ఈజ్ మై ఫైనల్ గోల్? అవర్ విజన్ డజంట్ ఎక్స్టెండ్ దట్ ఫార్. మోస్ట్ పీపుల్స్ విజన్ ఈజ్ డే బై డే, సమ్హౌ ఇఫ్ ఐ కెన్ స్పెండ్ టుడే, ఇఫ్ ఐ కెన్ స్పెండ్ టుమారో. ఎ ఫ్యూ పీపుల్ లుక్ ఎ లిటిల్ బిట్ ఫార్వర్డ్, సో ఎ ఫ్యూ ఇయర్స్ హెన్స్. సమ్ పీపుల్ లుక్ ఫార్వర్డ్ ఫర్ రిటైర్మెంట్. ఓన్లీ ఫ్యూ పీపుల్ ఫిక్స్ దేర్ మైండ్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ డెత్, అండ్ వెరీ ఫ్యూ పీపుల్ ఫిక్స్ దేర్ మైండ్ అపాన్ వాట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు హ్యాపెన్ బియాండ్ డెత్, బియాండ్ బర్త్ అండ్ డెత్. వెరీ ఫ్యూ పీపుల్. బట్ దట్ ఈస్ అవర్ డెస్టినేషన్ వెదర్ వీ వాంట్ ఇట్ ఆర్ నాట్, బికాస్ ఈచ్ సోల్ ఈస్ పొటెన్షియల్లీ డివైన్. దేర్ ఫోర్ వీ విల్ హ్యావ్ టు థింక్ అబౌట్ గాడ్ ఈవెన్ బై ఫోర్స్. Why by force? There is a psychology here. If something gives us happiness, there is no need to force anything, because naturally, automatically, our mind goes again and again to an object which gives us happiness. But thinking of God has certain problems. The first problem is, we know the objects, we know what they give, so at least we have some experience. But God, we have no experience excepting reading in books and going to some swamis. Sometimes the swamis don't even smile, and sometimes what they speak makes no meaning. So if they are speaking about God, you think, what is this God? What did the swami speak? Oh God, what do we understand by God? Oh my God. You see, this is the problem. One problem, God is not available for direct experience until after some time. And at the same time, according to Vedanta, we see nothing but God. Excepting God, there is nothing we see. But God comes in the form of Nama, Rupa, Guna. Guna. That is why we are unable to accept God. And our minds are drawn to immediate things which give us pleasure. This is our biggest problem. Anything that gives us pleasure, our mind automatically is drawn. When somebody advises us to meditate upon God, what would be our first reaction? Terrible revulsion. How many obstacles we have to counter before we can derive fixed pleasure, happiness from God. You know, at least minimum two at the beginning. What are they? First thing is that the mind becomes very restless. Second, if it somehow gets, then kashaya, it is called kashaya, like bitter medication. And if we can somehow overcome that, the greatest obstacle for yoga is called ananda, rasasvatana. And somehow if we can overcome that, then the mind will be fixed in God. So these are the four obstacles that take place. That is scattering of the vikshepa, kashaya, rasasvadana, and laya is first. Laya means sleep. I see it practically in every class I see. And that is why I go on telling some small jokes and other things. That is one of the reasons. Yeah, and then they wake up with a fresh mind. Laya, vikshepa, kashaya, and rasasvadana. All these are obstacles to yoga. How ananda can be? It doesn't mean the samadhi ananda. It's a lower ananda. The moment we get ananda, we get stuck. And we don't want, the mind doesn't want to go. That is the problem. So what is the way out? That is where he says, abhyas. We will come to that. This is the goal. What is the goal? Mai eva mana adhasva. Keep all your thoughts on me. Mai buddhim niveshaya. You fix your intellect. That God alone is worthy object and no other object is worthy. For two reasons. Why God alone is the highest goal? For two reasons. What are the reasons?
Changeless.
No. First reason is it is infinite eternal happiness.
Mm.
Second reason is it is the infinite happiness. Every other object, two defects. What are the two? First of all, it is temporary. And secondly, it is also in quantity very limited. So if you are able to see something, only your eyes will enjoy. But your nose may not enjoy it. Your ears may not enjoy it. So many things. I can give hundreds of examples, but I don't want to deviate too much. So what is the goal of every spiritual aspirant? Let him follow any yoga. Only two. The intellect, buddhi, must fix and say, I want only God or Brahman, whatever name you give. And second, our mind should have no thoughts other than God. Here is a problem. Because we have to do so many other things. We are not simply sitting and thinking only about God. We have to drive cars, we have to attend office, so many things. Then what is the way out? Associate God. Mat karma krit. Mat karma krit. So associate. Association, this is one of the problems. Practice the presence of God. So remembering God is possible at certain times. But associating God and feeling the presence of God, that should be practiced. What does it mean, practicing the presence of God? Suppose you are working in an office. Then what do you think? I am working for my boss. I am working for my company. I am working for some people who own this company. Our thoughts only go that much. That means you are practicing the presence of whom?
Boss.
Boss, loss. And all these things. But you simply say, who owns the boss? Who created the boss? And who is making him run round and round? It is God. The whole universe is created by whom? By God. Therefore, your boss or your company or your executive director, they all belong to only your boss. So if he criticizes, your boss criticizes you, who is criticizing you actually? So you will have to, this is called practicing the presence of God, by associating everything with God. So what is, how does it help us? Because always to remember God's name is not possible, and it is not even desirable. When you are alone, no distractions, then do japa, remembrance, meditation. But when you are driving, what should you do? You practice the presence of God. I am going to the office. So that office, whatever work I do, it is service to God. And there is reason why to say that whatever benefit your boss is getting, ultimately your boss also is working for whom? For God. The whole universe is created by God for what purpose? So that ultimately the whole universe will realize its identity with God. Everybody will go to God. So in God, everybody is equal. Good person, bad person, all these distinctions come at a very low level. But the moment we go, then the distinctions slowly will vanish. Friend and enemy, sukha and dukkha, honor and dishonor, and gain and loss, all these things become very, very less important. But that is, we have to raise. This is what Sri Ramakrishna says, you know, when you climb that tree. From there, when you look down, my God, you can't find out which tree is which. They all look like small, these things. Even now you can see at a mountain, you know, at a distance, two things will happen. First of all, everything looks green, if at all it looks green. And you don't know until you go there, as to one is having fruit, another is having a thorn. You cannot distinguish. And secondly, it looks so smooth, the fellows are climbing. Say, why they are taking so much time? After all, it is so nice. Ooh, like that you can run. It looks like that. And you approach there, huge boulder, this one. Then you understand, my God, how much they are struggling, you know, from a distance. And this is the bhranti, delusion we go through. Our neighbors, how happy they are. Why God has made me so miserable? Neighbor's husband, neighbor's wife, so nice, so sweet. But I am saddened with this kind of partner. This is a delusion. Why is it a delusion? That's what exactly your neighbor also is saying. Universal. Okay. But in the essence of this ninth verse, that our sadhana, all sadhana, whichever path we take, is only two. Make the intellect understand that this is the only highest goal. And then fill the mind with the thoughts of that highest goal. So it helps each other. Parasparam bhavayanta. The more thoughts, the more the buddhi becomes clear. The more the buddhi decides, then the thoughts also automatically follow. This is how, reinforcing each, we have to slowly climb. That is what he is telling. But then our problem is, we are not able to do that. Our buddhi also, intellect also, doesn't want to think God is the highest. Not intellectually. Intellectually, we understand that fact. But we cannot fix. How do we know? Because whatever our intellect understands rightly, the mind has to follow, the thoughts have to follow. Whichever way the oxen turn, the wheels have to follow the footsteps of the oxen. So if our mind is refusing to think thoughts of spiritual thoughts, that means our buddhi is not really, it really did not understand. This is the simple fact. This is the meaning of this one. This is the goal. The buddhi must understand God is my highest goal. The mind also should be filled with appropriate thoughts. That is the goal. That is the meaning of verse number 9. What is? Have you got any doubts? Anything to question about this? Did you understand it? don't question me. Did you understand? What do you mean by did you understand what? Intelligence. That is why there are two types of intelligences. One is worldly intelligence, Mahamaya intelligence. In that they are very intelligent. That is why most people are deluded. There is another type of intelligence, this is called ordinary buddhi. There is something called spiritual intelligence. It has a special technical name. It is called Medha. It is the prayer, Medha Devi Jushamanana Agad Vishvachi Bhadra Sumanasyamana Tvaya Jushta Nadamana Duruktan Brihadvatem Vidhate Suvira. It is called Medha Suktam. Or Om Bhur Bhosvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Naha Prachodat. Dhiyo is called Medha. This is the spiritual intelligence. That is why there is a book. So, Emotional Intelligence by David Goleman. And Spiritual Intelligence, two Jewish authors, I forgot the name of the authors. The name of the book is, title of the book is Spiritual Intelligence. And that few people have. This is the difference between Sri Ramakrishna and other boys who with whom he grew up. He understood clearly that God alone is my goal. Do you understand now? This ordinary intelligence works only in understanding ordinary things, temporary things, temporal things. But spiritual intelligence is necessary to understand that God is my supreme goal. And that comes only by God's grace. Dadami buddhi yogam tam ena mam upayantite. Only from God it comes. That is what the Lord also is telling here in the 7th verse. Bhavami nachirat partha mai aveshita chetasam. I rescue them. What does he mean? How does he rescue? How does God rescue us?
Giving the current buddhi.
He will give first the buddhi. God alone is the goal. Then he will give us the opportunity for filling our minds with spiritual thoughts. Then he will also give us the company of holy people. So three things. Durlabham, trayamevaitat, daivanugraha hetukam, manushyatvam, mumukshutvam, mahapurusha samshaya. That's why he says, daivanugraha hetukam, only by God's grace. Okay. Any questions about this? Okay, then we approach it. Let us chant verse number 9. So the Lord is going, introduction to this. The Lord is now telling step by step. So if I cannot attain the highest step, what is the next, what is called aimable step? If I cannot aim at this highest intellect, then let us aim one step below. If that also cannot be attained, then one step below. This is how is proceeding. Let us chant. Atha chittam samadhatum nashaknoshi mayi sthiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dhananjaya. If you are unable to fix your mind steadily on me, then, by Abhyasa Yoga, do thou seek to reach me, O Dhananjaya. How can we fix our intellect on God? By filling our mind with spiritual thoughts, godly thoughts. How do we fix our mind with spiritual thoughts? By Abhyasa means what? Repeatedly. So I fail first time, I fail second time, I fail third time. This goes on and on and on and on. There is a funny story. There was a Zen master. He was an expert in archery. So one disciple asked him, Master, what a great spiritual archer you are. Every time your arrow, it reaches the target. What is your secret? He says, My dear disciple, I will only tell you the secret. First, I will discharge the arrow and call it target. Now, you can also become a master archer. You just close your eyes and discharge your arrow. Wherever it strikes, that is what my target is. Is it so easy? How many Ekalavya? His guru refused him. This is another beautiful story. So, this man entered. Because he was a low caste person, Dronacharya refused. There is a direction in the scriptures. The direction is, if any worthy disciple, earnest disciple, approaches a teacher, if the teacher refuses to teach him, that teacher is committing a greatest crime. Why? Because God has given you that knowledge. All knowledge comes from God. And God gives you the knowledge so that you can keep. No. He gives you the knowledge so can you can pass it on to other people. There is no question of low caste or high caste. Anybody who fulfills certain conditions, he is a disciple. So Ekalavya approached Dronacharya. And Dronacharya refused, not only that, he committed a heinous crime later on. Yeah. And he was a greater, better disciple than Karna, than Arjuna, than anybody else. Yes. Among all the Dronacharya's archery disciples, Ekalavya was unexcelled. Then one day, both Arjuna and Ekalavya happened to chase one animal, and Ekalavya won what you call hands down. Arjuna's face became small because he was thinking that I am supremo. Now he saw, here is a man, what is called almost uncultured person, he dressed like a forest dweller, tribal man, and he could easily do this. Oh, his face. Dronacharya says, Oh, my child, who are you? So he says, I am Ekalavya. And who taught you? He says, You taught me. I taught you? I don't remember even your face. Yes, I approached you. You refused. Then I decided that you will be my guru, whether you teach me or not. Beautiful story. Then he goes and fashions gurus. Figure, every day bows to the guru and then he practices archery. And he became the best archer in the whole world at that time. The moment Dronacharya heard, Oh, you are my disciple, I am your guru. Yes, but you didn't give me Guru Dakshina. He says, What Guru Dakshina you want? You cut off your
the right thumb.
Thumb, which is the support for any archery.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable. Conduct on the part of Dronacharya. So when Yudhishthira told a lie to destroy him, our Hindus forget this incident. So, Yudhishthira, by cheating, had killed Dronacharya. What did Dronacharya do? He committed several sins. He had a right to teach archery, but he had no right to participate in war. Brahmins are not supposed to participate in war.
Yes.
Secondly, even though Duryodhana and others were also his disciples, a teacher should not show any partiality.
Yes.
But he showed partiality only towards Pandavas and especially to Arjuna. And so many, then afterwards, when he taught them completely, they asked, What Guru Dakshina can we give you? He says, Go and bind Drupada and bring him. He had no right. A Brahmana's quality is Kshama. The other person might have committed a crime, but as a Brahmana, you have no right. So that means you are not a real Brahmin. So that is another crime he committed. Then you see, when the war came, he took the part of Duryodhana. He should not have taken. because his business was only
to teach,
not to participate in the war. And he was very powerful, he was a great, and he decided, he and his son both decided. Both of them committed grievous sins.
Yes.
Ashwatthama went, you know the story.
He
went and killed wantonly some of the people. So these are great lessons to be learned. What is our point here? Abhyasa. If you have got that faith, deep faith, then whether your mind wants it or not, go on practicing. Sri Ramakrishna gives lot of examples. Or was it Holy Mother, you know? A man had a small cough and he started lifting it. Every day he will go and lift. And the cough was growing. He was also lifting. As the cough was growing, his muscles also were growing. The cough became a full-grown bull. But still he was able to
lift it.
Why was he able to do that?
His muscles developed.
Because he was doing it every day. So the same thing we should apply to meditation, the same thing we should apply to music, any art, any type of specialization. If we want to acquire, practice. Suppose you are a student of music. Suppose you give it up for one day. Suppose you give it up for 2 days. Suppose you give up the habit of practicing for 3 days. Do you know what happens? There was a world famous piano player, an American. So he used to practice, even though world famous, every day 8 hours. So once somebody, a critic or a journalist, sir, you are world famous piano player. Why do you practice every day 8 hours? He gave a beautiful reply. If I don't practice one day, I notice the difference. If I don't practice for 2 days, my critics notice the difference. If I don't practice for 3 days, the whole world notices the difference. It's a fact. So, meditation, you like it, you don't like it, you enjoy it, you don't enjoy it, you practice it. And one day you will see, you may not think that whether it is bearing fruit, but it bears fruit. So one reason is, no karma goes in waste. Even if it is done, what we call mechanically, it bears fruit. That's why we should not give up. And Raja Maharaj, Swami Brahmananda, gave one reply. He said, who knows when God's grace is going to descend? So if you give up, I have done it for 50 years, nothing happened. That day God has decided to bestow His grace. He comes to you and He doesn't find you there and He goes back disappointed. So it is said, there is a small story, you know. One man wanted to enter into heaven. So he went up to heaven. The gates are closed. Then he asked somebody, a wise person, when are these gates going to open? He said, nobody can tell, but at some point they will open, but only for 1 minute. So at that minute, if you are not alert for that moment, after opening for 1 moment, immediately they will close and you have to wait. So there were 2 people. With open eyes, he went on watching, days passed, nights passed, years passed. One day, intently was looking, suddenly he found the doors. Very quickly, he opened. Not your car gates, you know. Slowly opened. Very fast, like that, in a flash. The moment he saw, he just left everything there, and like a aeroplane emergency, they said, leave everything behind, and rush. Like that, he rushed inside. The other fellow went on staring. He got tired. He said, it's not going to open now. Let me close my eyes, take some rest. And when he was resting, the gates opened and the gates closed. And he left, remained behind. This is a story. So when God's grace is going to come to us, that is, we don't know. But it doesn't mean it is a random act.
No.
It is a, what is called, you know, there is no rhyme or reason. Suddenly it happened. That's not true. When we are ready, it comes. But how do we know when we are ready?
Abhyasa.
Ah, that is why abhyasa. The most important thing is abhyasa. Don't give it up. That's important. Anything, whether it is cooking, whether it is music, whether it is reading, whether it is meditating, doing japam, attending satsanga, just don't miss. Because you, once you miss, there is no guarantee in future anything can happen. Anything, good, bad, anything can happen. We don't know. We are such fools. Next second, what is going to happen? We just don't know. You just know. I was supposed to come. When?
Every day you are reminding us.
I was supposed to come last Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yes.
But you see, you must have performed some tapasya and prayers. God listens to your prayers, answers your prayers. It's proof, you got the proof. Still, if you doubt, I can't help you much. Okay. So, atha chittam samadhatum na seknoshi mayi sthiram. If you are unable to fix your mind steadily on me, then do abhyasa. Abhyasa means what? Repeat it, repeat, repeat, and one day it becomes a habit. Then you seek to reach me. Seeking means what? Practice. Whether God is bestowing His prayer, His answers, grace upon you or not, answering your prayers or not, you do your part. And never give it up, even for a one single day. That is the greatness of abhyasa. So now, one last question about it. Do you think God doesn't know we are practicing?
No.
Do you think that He doesn't want to bestow His grace upon us?
Yes.
Then why is delaying so much? Who is delaying? Is He delaying or are we delaying? When we are not ready, if something comes, we cannot enjoy it. And sometimes it might also be highly dangerous for us. Our body may break, our nervous system can break, our mental health can break, anything. How people go mad. They go to solitude. When they are, before they were ready, and they go mad. Yes, spiritual life also like that. So many things can happen. This is a very common thing. Even if you study some subject for which you are not ready, then you can go mad. Unless you are like that person who joined the military. There was a fellow who joined the military. You all know these are all old jokes. A fellow was forced to join the military. Promptly he went mad. That day itself he went mad. What was the madness? Whatever paper he looks, sees, any scrap of paper anywhere, he will take it out, opens it. No, this is not it. This is not it. This is not it. So, day after day, he picks up the papers, opens it, reads it, this is not it, and throws it away like that. So, the others tried to take him to medication and psychiatrist. Nothing worked. So, they had no option. They took him to the office. The military officer wrote discharge paper. So, he came out after closing the doors, opened and said, "This is it." Promptly, he was cured. All right. So, we have to be ready. This is the most important point we have to understand. And does this apply only to spiritual life? Or does it apply to any situation in life?
Any.
Every situation. whether it is parents, whether it's family, whether it is lineage, society, educational opportunities, job opportunities, religion, language, everything, we get what we deserve. So hard to believe that this is the truth. We are all, the whole society is the production of what? Our past karma. But this is not fatalism. This is the highest philosophy. What does that mean? Our fate is squarely
in our
hands. That is the most. Otherwise, you know, fate has ordained it like that. What can I do? No. The moment we accept, we become released from terrible tension. Who is responsible? I am responsible. Not anybody responsible. Not even God, not even neighbor, not even anybody. What is the point here? That you practice, practice, practice. When we are ready, that much grace we get. Every second is a grace. But through our karma, we are able to receive and retain. So when God's grace comes, two things must happen. Not only to receive it, but to be able to retain it, which is the most important thing. So, abhyasa. And I think this is the best advice we can get. But then there are people who say that even that is difficult. Okay. Any questions with regard to this verse?
Swamiji, you said like we are the one who is delaying God's grace.
Yes.
Right? So, but God also knows, I mean, when we are ready, right?
Yes. Yeah. What is the question?
So, like, how we are delaying or why we are not accepting that God knows when we are ready. So when we are at the right time, He's going to give the grace, right? So, how can you say that we are the one who is delaying?
Oh, I didn't understand your question at all. You see, why God doesn't delay? Let me first give an example.
Okay.
Then you put your question. Imagine that it is midday, 12 o'clock, the sun is shining brilliantly, and you closed all your windows with thick curtains. Now you are praying to God, please get me the light, I want light. And what should you do? So, the light is already waiting for you.
Okay.
It's already there.
Mm.
And whose problem is that? You have to understand God's grace in that way. It is already there, but we are not able to receive it. What is the receiving it? Remove the obstruction. This idea is expressed by Sri Ramakrishna. The grace of God is the wind of the grace of God is always blowing. The breeze of God's grace is always blowing. Unfurl your sails. This is what Patanjali, in his own inimitable style, says, Kshetrikavat.
Toil the land, or make it fertile.
There is water body and there is the field. But the water is not coming into the field. So the water is not saying, I will not come. Is not saying. You go and stand there and, oh, Jala Devata, why don't you bestow your grace? There was a fellow, every day used to pray to God, oh Lord, make me win the lottery. Went on praying. One day he heard a voice. Hey, Baba, at least buy a lottery ticket. At least do that much. Then I can make you win. So, self-effort and God's grace are the same things. God has given us the body, manushyatvam. God has given mumukshatvam. God also has given samsraya. Now abhyasa has to be done. Most important point is God's grace is already there. Not that he will wait and say, now my child is ready. I think
I can.
I must bestow the grace. No. is already given there. And when we are ready, it is there. That is the meaning of God's grace. God is ready. For that, abhyasa means what? Slowly remove the obstruction. That's what. So the body of water is there, the field is there, but the channel has not been made. This is the analogy Patanjali Rishi wants to give us. The channel has to be made by the farmer. So he is not doing anything, he is not to pray to the water. You remove the obstacle, naturally the water flows. Of course, it has deeper implications and it is connected with the idea of evolution. A lower species mutating into a higher species is, in that context, Patanjali gives how this takes place. Because it is by removing the obstacles. And this idea, the modern scientific community has not been able to understand or appreciate. It's a different issue. Okay, we'll proceed to the next verse, 10. Abhyase pyasamarthosi matkarma paramo bhava madarthamapi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. If also you are unable to practice repeatedly, abhyasa, then you be intent on doing actions for my sake. Even by doing actions for my sake, you shall attain perfection. So the next step. Okay, you can't practice. Why can't you practice? Because your mind is not fixed upon it. Why the mind is not fixed? Because you are not habituated. There is some obstacle. And what is the way to prepare so that the mind can become fixed? This is the secret. What is the secret? Associate every action with God. Practice the presence of God. So that is much easier than trying to sit and focus the mind. Concentration is difficult. Now here, with regard to this verse, puja ritual is equated with dharana. What is the difference between meditation and puja? Meditation means you sit and fix your mind with one object and without deviation constantly think of that particular object. It is called punaravritti. Vritti, repeated same vritti. Krishna, Krishna, Rama, 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 Krishna, Rama, Krishna. Whereas our normal state of mind is, sometimes I am thinking of this object, next millisecond I am thinking of some other object. So every object produces a different thought. And every thought is associated with a different object. This is our normal condition. So what happens in puja, the mind is restless. So our normal condition is, when the mind is restless, when we say our mind is restless, there is no relationship between one thought and the other thought. Whereas in dharana, different thoughts, but they are all related to one object. So puja, what happens? Oh, I am collecting flowers for Krishna. And I am cleaning the place for Krishna. I am decorating, different actions, different thoughts. But all the thoughts are centrally related to one object, our Ishta Devata, chosen deity, whether it is Krishna or Ramakrishna or whatever it is. This is what Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example. The tortoise lays its eggs on the shore, yes, and then it goes on moving in the water. So that means what is moving in the water? That it is doing different things. But its mind, where is it? On the eggs. So this is like puja. You may be going through the garden and you may think this flower looks good. For whom? For Krishna. This is faded. This is not good. For whom? For Thakur. For God. So different thoughts. I am making sandal paste. I am making garlands. I am decorating. I am offering. this incense stick. I'm lighting the lamp. I'm prostrating. All are different actions. All are different thoughts. But they're all fixed on one central object. Who is? God. That's why puja slowly takes one, fixes the mind. That is what he means. Mat karma paramo bhava. Whatever actions you are eating, think you are eating for God. You are cooking for God. There is a beautiful incident in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. One Brahmo lady came to Sri Ramakrishna. She was bringing up her niece, her nephew. And you see, her mind is now oscillating. She was a devotee of Krishna. Brahmo devotee, devotee of
Krishna.
So she came to Sri Ramakrishna. What a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. She said, this is my dilemma. I am thinking of my nephew. I want to think of Krishna. Whenever I want to think of Krishna, my mind goes to my nephew. Now it looks profane. Okay, I want to think of God, but I am forced to think of worldly object. Whatever, niece, nephew or anything. What is the solution? Say Ramakrishna give the best solution. Whenever you are bathing, when you are feeding, when you are playing with your nephew, don't think he is your nephew. Think he is baby Krishna. So now there is no conflict. That in the shrine room, that is Krishna. In your hands, that is also Krishna. Everything Krishna. And within few months, she had the vision of Gopala Krishna. That is what Gopalarma happened. Same thing, Gopalarma. That is what happened to Sri Ramakrishna when he practiced Vatsalya Bhava, Ramlala. So there are so many examples are there. That happened in Holy Mother's life once. She was doing puja, sat down to do puja. I think Maku's son or somebody, a small baby, crawled. And that is an example of mayeva mana adhasva mai buddhim niveshaya. The baby's eyes fell on the sweet which mother was to offer to Sri Ramakrishna. Fixed. She was telling, my son, Baba, wait a little. As soon as puja is over, what does he understand? What is this lady talking foreign language? This sweet is made for whom? You know, no deviation. You can see babies, no deviation. You can't deviate. So, what did Holy Mother, how did Holy Mother respond to that situation? Immediately she changed. My Gopala, go and eat. So now who is eating that one?
Gopala.
Not her nephew or whatever it is. No, it is Gopala only. Because when she says it is Gopala, it is nothing but baby Krishna. And that is the vision we have to bring in slowly, slowly. So whether we like some people, don't like some people, whether they're closer people or distant people, whatever actions we do from morning till evening, slowly we have to associate with God. This is much easier than sitting and thinking about God. That's what he is telling. If you are unable to practice, means make abhyasa. What does abhyasa mean here? You sit and think of me. That is called abhyasa. And that's not possible for most of us. Which is easier? So, whichever actions we do, do for my sake. That means what? Associate God with every action. Then, even by doing actions for my sake, you will attain perfection. Any questions about this? Yes. Okay, then we'll proceed to the next one.
Athaitadapyashaktosi kartum madhyogamashritaha sarva karma falatyagam tatah kuru yata atmavan
If you are unable to do even this, what is it? If you are unable even to associate my name with everyone. Some works we are able to associate. If you are preparing Naivedya for puja, then you definitely do that. If you are associating cooking for our satsanga here, you are able to associate and say, today it is the idea of God is there. There will be satsanga, devotees will come. So this food is meant for them. Indirectly, you are only thinking about God. And think more about it. Then you will be careful not to add more salt and all those things. And see that it is cooked properly also. Otherwise you will expect the Swamis to be cooked. That's what in Bengal, you know, jali echi. Jali echi means you are roasting me, barbecuing me. So, if you are unable to associate me with every action, it takes a long practice, many, many janmas even to do that. Then what is the next lowest step? Aim that whatever results come, offer it to me. This is a very important verse. This is the most important spiritual sadhana. Any action we do, we are supposed to do as karma yoga. Now what karma yoga, what is the difference between karma and karma yoga? Even from a worldly point of view, karma definitely gives its result. But karma yoga does two things. First of all, it will give only positive result. And secondly, it also slowly makes our mind in such a way, whatever be the result, it will make it enjoyable. Acceptable is also a doubtful word. Because there is two types of acceptance. Happy acceptance, resigned acceptance. Most of us, we practice only, not practice, it is natural. We practice such a long time, it comes very natural. Aar ki korvo, Thakur ja kuri hi chai. What can I do? God willed it like that. That is not really God's will. We are attributing. If you ask the poor God, he says, what did you ask? I don't know anything about what you did, what you are getting. I am absolutely unaware of it. What are the two results? If we do karma yoga, then two results will come. Only positive result will come. No negative result will come. And secondly, slowly our mind will be purified. Chitta Shuddhi will happen. Now, how to practice karma yoga? Two components we already discussed. What are the two important components? Only two. Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, Ishvara Prasada Buddhi. Ishvara Arpana Buddhi means whatever actions we are doing, that we do it only to please the Lord. Actually, that is the truth. Because whenever I eat something pleasant, happy thing, for whose pleasure am I doing it? Actually, we think that we are doing it for my pleasure. But actually, who is enjoying that? It is only the Divine Lord. That is why it is Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi means what? It is for the sake of Brahma. That is the truth. But we falsely think that we are doing it for my... When you analyze and say, who am I who wants to enjoy, then you will have to think, it is only God. There is nothing else in truth. That is why Brahma Arpana is a what is called nothing but a truth. Okay, two components of karma yoga. What are they? Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. That's what is indicated in the 11th. But in the 12th, what is he telling? Ishvara Prasada Buddhi. You offer the fruits of actions to God. Why? One reason is, once you have done the karma, karma comes to an end. What type of fruit, result is going to come, nobody knows about it, isn't it? it will come. But we don't know when it will come. We don't know in what form it will come. We don't know where it is going to come. We don't know how it is going to come. This is unknown factors. Anything in future is totally unknown factor for us. In any case, we have no choice now. But if we give it to God, then what happens? We will not worry about it. This is called sarva karma phala tyagaha, giving up the results. What does it mean, giving up the result? Does it mean that we don't want the results?
No,
that's not true.
Sukha, dukha.
What it means is that the results of karmas will come. It is inevitable. Like the wheels follow the footsteps of the oxen, the karma phala will follow the karma. But our problem is, we expect them when we expect them. So they will come. And if it is not karma yoga, it will be with mixed results, positive and negative. Sometimes positive is more, sometimes negativity is more. But we don't want negativity. We want only positive. That is why karma yoga, what it does, negativity is removed. Only positive result will come. Because it is God takes the negativity, gives us the positive thing. Yeah.
Maharaj, is that the negative results do not come, or is your attitude, because your attitude towards whatever comes your way, that's changed, that turns it into a positive light?
It looks as though there are two divisions here.
Mm-hmm.
Do actually negative results come, or even when they come, because of my attitude, I do not consider them as negative. What is the big deal of difference? When your mind takes everything positively, where is the question of negativity there? Negativity is cut off. That positive attitude of accepting everything, looking at everything in a positive way, is called karma yoga. Yeah. What does it matter? What is the negative result? You will feel unhappy. The result of negativity is to experience unhappiness. The positive outlook, what does it make? It will only make you happy, whatever be the result. Like the mantra that works. Mantras work. Anyway, this is a joke. I will tell you, then I will come to an end to this talk. You know, one American gentleman took an initiation, went to one of our Swami's talks, and that day the talk happened to be on the power of mantras. And it was so impressive, the man went and then questioned, do mantras really work or is it a rhetoric? He said, yes, yes, mantras really work. Then he said, I want to take mantra from you. Will you give me mantra? Oh yes, very happily I will give. Right now I will give, before you change your mind. So he got initiation. He was very enthusiastic and he went home, sat down in the drawing room. The guru instructed, you sit with your backbone straight. If you wish, you can put some cushions behind it also. And started repeating the mantra loudly. After a few minutes, his wife came running. And she said, hey, what is this stupidity? You are sitting like this odd way and you are doing all these things. He did not reply to her. Even more volume. After half an hour, she came in a huff. Her BP was rising. Stop doing mantra. Otherwise, I will leave. He didn't even more word out. After 2 hours, she packed her bags, walked up. He got up and said, it works. The mantra really works. So, what is the point here? If we really offer the fruits, means expectations, we say, oh Lord, I leave it to you. That means what? I will not have any expectation. It doesn't mean we will not get the results. As I said, whatever we offer to God, all the negativity will be washed off. That means, what does it mean? We only get happiness. And at the same time, the mind becomes equanimous. Samatva. Then samatva means what? Whatever be the experience, my mind will not be ruffled. That means it's a very positive thing. We won't lose our enthusiasm. In fact, we will be positively happier. This is what happens. This is the first part. What is it? Offer the fruits at least to God. Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. If that is the right attitude with which we offer, the second statement follows. What is it? Ishvara Prasada Buddhi. Whatever comes, the person accepts as prasada of the Lord. And if we take as prasada of the Lord, even poison turns into amrita. Vishapyala ranane bheja pivat mira hashire. You know a story from Mirabai's life. Her husband sent poison. Twice he did it. So first time, Mira knew about it. Because they told, your husband wants you to drink this poison and die. And she took it. What did she do? Offered it to Krishna. And the moment she offered it to Krishna, happily, because prasada buddhi, the moment she took it, that poison, what did it turn into? Amrita, nectar. That is all because Ishvara did not want her to die. He wanted her to enjoy. Here also a question comes. Suppose it remains poison and she dies. What would have been her case? She would have been very happy. She was not frightened of death. Because if that is the will of God, it's absolutely fine. That's what Sri Ramakrishna proved when this cancer came. Every great soul. That's what it happens. Okay. Yes?
Maharaj, is that the first step? So, Ishvara Prasada Buddhi, is that the first step to Sharanagati, Maharaj? Is that the beginning of Sharanagati?
Yes, both. Unless we offer everything to Ishvara, Arpana Buddhi doesn't come. Ishvara Prasada Buddhi doesn't come. If you don't offer to God, then where is the prasada? So, first step is to offer everything to God. Second step is even more important step. After offering, whatever happens, we have to accept it as prasadam of God. Prasade sarva dukha naam hani rasyo pajayate prasanna chetasho hyashu buddhihi pariyavatishtate. That is the explanation of prasada. Prasade sarva dukha naam hanihi asya upajayate. All dukkhas will disappear if it is prasada. The very word, prasannata. Mind becomes serene, peaceful. Peaceful means what? Joyous. So these are the two components. If a person does that, then what happens? The Lord is telling, then if you are unable to associate my name with every karma. What is the another lower step? Aim for the lower step. Taking refuge in me. Abandon the fruit of all action. Being self-controlled. This is what one has to do. And if we can do that, what happens? The man's life becomes blessed. How does it become blessed? Because if one succeeds in this step, the next step is associating God's name with every action. The moment a person is capable of associating God's name with every action with God's name, what will be the result? Abhyasa will take place naturally, effortlessly, automatically. If that happens, abhyasa, then what happens? The buddhi will be fixed, understanding God alone is worth. And then the mind will be filled only with thoughts. Now, Sri Ramakrishna's illustration. The natural tendency of my mind is always towards Brahman. It is only with so many desires I pull it down. So it is always like the compass, which always, whichever way the ship turns, it is turned towards only. Beautiful verses, these are practical things, step by step. If that is, I am unable to do that, do this. If I am unable to do this, do a little lower step. And if I am unable to do that, come to the lowest step. What is the lowest step? At least after doing the karma, you think of God and offer. Suppose I am not able to do even that one. Then God will take care of us. How does He do? Through dukkha, through suffering. He will make us think. Whenever we suffer, then we think of God. Is it a fact?
Yes.
Try to understand properly. Everybody thinks, many people think, they don't think of God. They think of something else. But there is a way to associate. What is another name for God?
Ananda.
So whenever suffering comes, what is the thought, even if a person is not thinking about God? Happiness. I don't want suffering, I want happiness. When a person is thinking of happiness, what is he thinking of really? Only God, nothing else. So everybody, Sankatakale, Venkatramana, there is no other way. So let us stop here. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanu Ramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum.